Hello, listeners. Jim and Theo here. We are back and we are continuing on the thread of audio tours. If you remember a couple of episodes ago, Theo cited one of his most powerful learning experiences of 2021 as an audio tour. I, Jim, have always been an enthusiast of guided tours and audio tours in general when I visit new places. And so last episode, we went out and try to create our own audio tour, because how hard can it be, right? We had a character picked out who was Kay Sessions, who was an incredibly strong female horticulturalist and business owner here in the San Diego area. We gave it an honest try throughout a day, and in the end, we came to the conclusion that this is really, really hard. Producing one is really hard, but we still realized that we loved this method of learning, this way of exposing ourselves to this to a new place. And so today we went out and we found ourselves a guided tour done by the experts here in San Diego.
Yeah. So listeners, we went to the Gas Lamp Quarters, which is a neighborhood really close to downtown San Diego. And we did an Airbnb experience with a guy named Drew, who did a historical crime tour of the Gas Lamp District. This was a 1-hour tour. We walked through the history of San Diego from its foundings, as well as some interesting history about the world, some World War II origins. And then towards the second half of the tour, we explored various different crimes that happened in the Gas Lamp Quarter. And it was just a great learning experience. And Drew, our tour guide, was an expert in not just the history of San Diego, but he's also very well versed in the crime space. So Jim, what were some things that stood out for you about Drew's tour today?
Yeah, I mean, fresh off our attempt to make our own audio tour, I think I have a much deeper appreciation for how much work, how much just research it takes to create a meaningful tour and guiding experience of any kind, whether it's online or offline. We were talking with Drew about a creation process for another tour he's working on right now. And this is a multi-month process just on research to get a sense of the broader history around a location and its characters. That takes probably a couple of months to do, because the thing about a guided tour is that you're going to present the information that is core to the tour. But of course, when people ask you questions about specific locations or about specific time periods, you need to be prepared to answer them. And so only, let's just say, under 20% of the information that you're researching will actually make it into the tour. So there's so much background knowledge he's building in the creation process to help him prepare for a question that never makes it into the tour, right? So that's some of the invisible work that we totally ignored as we were thinking about doing this. And the second thing is, there's just like so many small details to make sure people have a good end user experience. For example, when you're on a tour, you're likely going to stop in front of a location as you're listening about a story. Well, it might be strange if you're stopping in front of a local business all the time to the business owner. You might be thinking like, huh, why are a bunch of tourists always stopping there? What are they doing? Is this good for my business? If the tourist portraying my business, is it portraying it in a positive light? Do I support this or not? And so Drew takes the time to go in and actually develop relationships with those business owners and just tell the story of what he's trying to do. And over time, this becomes a great thing in that not only does everyone feel safer and better about this, those businesses end up sometimes sending in new visitors and new leads as well, right? So that's not even preparation for making the core tour, but more about designing these experiences. So I have a much deeper appreciation now for end-to-end, the enormous amount of effort it takes to make a great tour experience.
Right. I do want to double down on like the depth of research that was involved. Like, there are just some facts about San Diego Gas Lamp Quarters that I would have probably not ever have known about, never have seen. There was an example of the fact that Japan during World War II had actually attempted to bomb San Diego with with fleas that had the bubonic plague, but didn't realize the science that the fleas all died when they were in the air where there was no oxygen. And I really appreciate that depth, because I don't even see that in history textbooks, things that we would learn in our day to day. So that's just a testament to the depth of research that they've done to create this.
Yeah. And that's, I think that shows true passion, because that is two steps adjacent to the focus of the tour.
Yeah.
It's not specific to the Gaslamp district. It's really a story and an historical anecdote about Sydney.
Yeah.
So I think you need to have almost as broader interests as you're researching an audio tour beyond the specific subject itself, because you might get questions, and inevitably, I think your story will lead you to pull in on adjacent threats, such as when you're, you know, talking about this building that overlooks a naval base in San Diego, you can pull in an anecdote about World War II, because that's a connection to, you know, San Diego as a key, like, naval war story gets brought in, right? So the ability to make that connection is pretty incredible for a tour experience. And it just makes you a great tour guide, providing that first.
Yeah. So two things, the passion is really important. The depth of the research is really important. Sorry, actually three things. And the third is all the small details to package the tour were things that I don't think we had going into and preparing for our Kate Sessions audio tour. They were vastly underestimated how much work needs to go into for very high quality production.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe this is giving you a reflection about why perhaps there are not more audio tours and guided tours out there, right? Is that these are like products of craftsmanship and passion.
Yeah.
If you were to try to quote unquote productize and scale this out, it would just feel really different. The story would be way more linear. You can produce certainly a story confined to the Gaslamp district, but it would miss so many connections to the things that are relevant to the importance of San Diego as a naval base, to, let's just say, you know, the role of how San Diego actually supported some Asian Americans in being able to acquire properties for their first time in the US and in California.
Mm-hmm.
I think like you would just get a story that's much more pared down, linear, and sparse than what we experience here today. And I think that does change the overall experience. So I think like, yeah, as I was processing this, I was like, wow, we love audio toys. Why aren't there more? They're really, really hard work. And scaling them out is really tough because of all the invisible work that goes on behind.
Yeah. Another reflection for me is, on top of that note, is like how constrained you are as a storyteller to do a tour or an audio tour.
Mm.
It's very dependent on the location. I think one of the things that we thought about this tour was like, oh, there were a lot of, it felt like a tour with a bunch of chapters of different stories, but each location, each block had its own story. I think the stories that Jim, you and I are both normally familiar with is a chronological based story where this happens in the 1800s and this happens in the 1900s.
Yeah.
We didn't get that in this tour, but it's also limited. Like Drew could only tell so much with the environment that he's given, because literally each block has a completely different story based off a different time period. So we were jumping around different time periods throughout the overall tour. So I think that's another challenging component in the creativity process for a tour.
That's right. That like human brain usually works chronologically in storytelling, but when you a tour that's location based, you might have to break time.
Yeah.
And it puts strain on your storytelling because then is almost the jarring nature of jumping across time with some other industry. It's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the final thing I'll say that's like hopeful in the future in terms of where these guided tours and or prevalent audio tours might go is that like personalization is more and more of a solved problem in technology. Think about your cars on Amazon, your your shopping pages are personalized, right? What you see is not what anyone else sees. Your Google search results, all of those are personalized. This is a big challenge, personalization in guided tours right now, in that the experience that a group, let's just say of 8 people have, who is a really large family with very diverse interests, maybe on a tight time schedule, is very different than that of, you know, 2 dudes visiting here who have really deep interests in like history and are down to chat just about any random topic, right? Drew chose to give us, he did this really like in an embedded way throughout the tour. He chose to give us way more context about each location, including the time periods that made them significant, specific characters, in the way he answered our questions, which was way deeper than he might have with other groups that weren't as interested.
Yeah.
I think that this is something that like technology lends really well to, actually, is that over time, this tour that you produce for someone, for a group of people, might actually sound different to every person. And it's very, very compelling to each person. You don't necessarily to personalize that. That's
nice. We've also reached out to the owner of this tour. Her name's Ray. And she also, she took a listen to our podcast and was really excited to jam about the business of tours, the creative process of tours. And so we will be talking to her tomorrow morning.
Okay, listeners, Theo and I are back, and we just had such a stimulating and exciting conversation with Ray, the owner of the tour that we just went on. We get really deep into our shared passion for history, for audio tours, for guided tours. But before we get into all that, her personal story of how she got into this craft and business is just so fascinating. Let's start there and let's listen in.
Like when I originally started the company, I would have never guessed I would be doing tours. We started as a murder mystery entertainment company where we did murder mystery parties. And with that, also, it kind of took a different turn than what when I initially started. When I started that, I thought we were going to be in people's homes. Our first customers were actually restaurants and businesses doing team building and trying to, we had a mom and pop restaurant that was wanting, you know, to increase their reach for their clientele. And so it's just, it's always so interesting, you know, even with your guys' podcast, how things evolve when it's not necessarily the route that you thought it would take. And so that's kind of how I ended up into the tour industry in a super roundabout way. I got partnered with a gentleman who owned a pirate ship that sailed the San Diego Bay. And so I started hosting murder mystery events aboard his pirate ship. So I had been operating for a couple of years already during the murder mystery events and then did the tours. We actually started with a murder mystery scavenger hunt in Old Town. Little drama there. And so essentially I was paying them a ton of money to operate and I didn't even have a storefront. And then they turned around and told me that we could no longer operate because we were not historically accurate. It was a fictional story, but it was a fictional story with historic facts built in. And so I was looking at it as it was a fun way to educate people, where they would go to these different locations. And while the story itself was fictional, a lot of the information they would pick up was true and we would build it in. So I'm having a feeling there may have also been some other politics there, but again, things happen for a reason. I had a friend who had a connection down in the Gaslamp Quarter and she said, you know what? I think I've got the perfect partnership for you. She paired me up with a restaurant down there. And so we worked that they would bring me team building events. I would bring them guests who would eat, drink in their restaurant. And we started out of their facility and I didn't have to pay anything to operate there. So, you know, again, things happen for a reason. Then from doing the murder mystery scavenger hunt there, we shifted to, we had one in Seaport Village. I know you guys aren't local, but Seaport Village had a bunch of drama a couple of years ago where they were being bought out, possibly being sold for condos, a bunch of businesses were being shut down. So the decision there was to go ahead and just pull that one. And then when we pulled it, we launched the True Crime Tour, which has become like our biggest hit downtown.
So throughout the conversation between Ray, Jim, and me, we all knew that we loved tours, guided tours and audio tours. And we were really curious and we had to ask Ray, why aren't there more tours out there for the world? Here's her response.
Yeah, so I have had some friends reach out to me who, particularly like during COVID, were like, dude, I lost my job. Would you be willing to help me put together something in the city where I live? And nothing ever completely panned out because, like you said, you know, I sent them a list of like, hey, I'm more than willing to partner with you to put this together. I said, but there's a few things we got to go down the line first, and they're not fun things. What are your city's codes? What are your city's requirements? Like, some cities, barriers to entry to launch a tour company, not the easiest thing to do. For instance, I had looked at putting a tour in New Orleans. They require all of their guides to be background checked, have this like license and all of that. Those are some of the barrier to entries. For instance, Old Town, you know, when I very first started there, I just started operating. I literally, we got pulled over, stopped, whatever you want to call it, as we were walking by a park ranger and was like, do you have a permit to operate here? No, I thought a state park was public property. No, you have to have a permit to operate there and you have to pay for that permit. And that permit was not cheap. You also, in order to get that permit, have to have liability insurance. Again, not cheap. I don't know what they think we're doing with these people when we're walking, but liability insurance is not cheap. And so you have all of these barriers to entry that we have to cross before we can even get to the point of putting a tour there. And they're not fun, you know, like, let's be honest, like, you know, trying to track all this down. And even, for instance, the Old Town there in San Diego, I had called the Old Town CBB and said, do I need a business license? Do I need a permit to operate? They told me no. I didn't even think about, I figured the CBB, which is your Convention and Visitor Bureau, would know what was required to operate there. Because I was told no, I didn't even think that I needed to contact the state park to ask if I had to operate there.
So listeners, if you're paying close attention here, you also know that we're talking with a guided tour owner and operator, whereas Theo and I, our first interest in this whole space started with audio tours, which are pre-recorded, you know, app-driven experience. We wanted to get Ray's take on pre-recorded audio tours, on her take on what the role of technology would be, how personalization would work in this space. She was really thoughtful, as we had hoped for, and here was her take on this.
I've never done an audio tour besides the ones that are at museums. I like the in-person touch too, but because I, again, randomly enjoyed Pokemon, I think I would enjoy an app that was interactive, particularly, you know, some of the personal struggles we deal with as a family. But my husband and I are vegan, my kids are not. Finding restaurants that are vegan, like being able to find, you know, if I had an app that could pinpoint to me, you know, restaurants that are vegan, but maybe have some history to them or are very unique. In Florida here where we live, we have a pizza joint called The Grotto, and the inside feels like you're in a cave. Super cool. We were so excited to go to it. My kids love going there. But stuff like that, and then you learn the history. It's connected to a historic theater that is on the historic registry. It, you know, has an amazing story behind it. The foodie gets their experience, but if you're a history nerd, you would know like, oh, this place has an awesome history. So you kind of get to have a piece of that experience also.
This was a 1 hour conversation with Ray, and it was clear that we all had just a similar passion for tours. And at the end of the conversation, it was clear that we developed a friendship. Towards the end, Ray even shared a little bit about her future dream, her future utopia of what tours could look like in the future for her and her husband. Here's the final clip for our conversation with Ray.
Where for me, this business is kind of a selfish pleasure also. Like, I love tours. And so my husband and I have chatted. We have an RV and we've talked about full timing in it after he retires from the military. And one of the things we've discussed is my husband loves to ride his bike. And so I said, why don't we RV? And we travel to these cities. I set up new tours. You go ride your bike. But it's a tax write-off. We get to travel and we build this business that is our retirement, but we're loving life. Yeah, see, I see your grin. It's an amazing opportunity. Like for me, I love going on tours to learn. And so to be able to do that as part of my business or my job, but then to create something, you sometimes get caught up in the business side of it.
Wow. What a great conversation that was. we had it earlier today, and just thinking back on it, I'm still tingling with excitement right now. And what really strikes me, Theo, is how serendipitous this whole thing was that we were able to talk to Ray in the first place.
Yeah, we took Thursday off. We went to go on an audio tour and then had a text exchange with the owner, and she wanted to talk with us. And we just had such a knowledgeable and informational conversation with her, but also felt like we made a new friend in this whole entire process as well.
Yeah, you know, and perhaps found a collaborator as well, and certainly a kindred spirit. Maybe that's my biggest takeaway, is it's, the word is evolution comes to mind, is things evolve and change in mysterious ways that you can't quite predict. I don't think we set out this year to spend an entire month and counting now thinking deeply about guided tours and audio tours, but here we are into the month of February, having done quite a few different episodes on this topic. It's obvious that both of us are drawn here. There's something here for us. And along the way, we just have had such incredible experiences. We met such incredible people on this journey, and we're just excited to keep on following that thread.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot of these moments of putting ourselves out there. This whole experience, I mean, a huge reflection for me has been just the opportunities that we put ourselves in by being open to all these possibilities, being open to going on a ghost tour, being open to meeting with Ray. I think I'm very humbled too throughout this whole process that, you know, even though you and I, we come from tech backgrounds, product backgrounds, there are so many more talented people out there in the world, like Ray, who is essentially a content creator in the tour space.
Yeah.
And what I'm really excited about is how we can find opportunities to collaborate to bring the best synergies out of all of us when you get the right people in the room.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that looks like, but yeah. I feel very excited that there is something there.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we'll keep on pulling that thread, and we'll see you next time.
See you soon, listeners.